A Sky original. Set against a black background, silver capital letters. Storyboard Media. The title Ingenious appears in a sweeping spotlight. March on Productions, set before a stormy night sky. Two giant hands reach towards each other across the dark night sky. Index fingers touching, causing a ball of light. Alla Prima Productions. Hollywood, California, 1974. Nuns protest outside a cinema showing the world premiere of Killer Nuns.
Stop desecrating God's holy word!
1, 2, 3, 4, God's open writing, not 5, 6, 7, 8, the Bible is
the same. Oh, God, this movie! Make Hollywood stop and never in the making!
Two men sit outside a cafe down the road from the cinema.
I mean, I've never seen a line going down the block in front of one of our films before.
It's a picket line, Uncle Max.
Well, you know, maybe the film's just ahead of its time. You never know, Walter. I mean, when Igor Stravinsky's Rite of Spring first performed at the Théâtre des Champs-Élysées in Paris, people were so overwhelmed by its unique atonal qualities that a fistfight erupted amongst the patrons.
What does that have to do with us?
Well, I'm just saying.
Walter picks up a paper and reads out a review.
The movie's excruciatingly bad taste can only be matched by the ineptitude of its execution. Truly, the only good thing about this film is that after 90 minutes, it's over. I thought you said we got a good review.
Yeah, that is a good review. They like the end.
The devil! The devil!
Uncle Max, I gotta ask you something. We've been at this a long time, and...
So?
I don't know, do you think maybe we should... quit?
I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that, Walter.
Quit? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Quit, Walter? Bite your tongue. We don't quit. We're Miracle Motion Pictures. What's our motto? What's our motto? If it's good, it's...
a miracle.
A miracle, exactly. And why do we call ourselves Miracle Motion Pictures? Because miracles are out there. They exist. They happen every day. Not to us, but they're real. All we have to do is keep our eyes open and our hearts free so that when our miracle presents itself, we're there to recognize it and seize it accordingly. Come on.
All right. Let's go find our miracle.
Great. Can you help me with the check?
Sure.
With their heads hung low, the men pass the picket line.
Boycott movies made by Miracle Motion Pictures. They are not miracles. They are blasphemy.
Name on used cars. Scene one, take one.
Hi, I'm Dick Moss.
Sorry.
We'll go again. Keep it rolling.
It's fine. We're shooting on videotape.
What?
It's the latest thing. We're always rolling. So, ready whenever you are, Duke.
In Duke's retirement apartment, a cowboy hat and rope hang on the wall. Duke pours liquor into a glass, then lights up a cigarette. A poster on the wall reads, Special Added Attraction, Miss Bess Jones, January 25th, 26th, three shows nightly at the Sands. Duke turns his attention to the inscription on his silver lighter, My Heart Sings Only For You. He grabs a small bottle from a table and takes out a bullet. Another poster on his wall, Duke Montana and the Lobos of the River, colour by Technicolor. He removes his gun from his holster and inserts the bullet into the weapon. Sat in a chair wearing his cowboy hat, he places the gun in his mouth, pulls the trigger, then acts like he's been shot. Introducing The Comeback Trail, starring Robert De Niro, Tommy Lee Jones, Morgan Freeman, Zach Braff, and Emil Hirsch. Max pulls up outside his bungalow located beneath a flight path. He tentatively enters the property.
Hey, Reggie. Glad you're here.
You know, at first I thought I would put a fucking bomb in your car. Like that Mexican kid did in Orson Welles' Touch of Evil.
That kid was shifty.
Then I thought, no, what I'll do is I'll stab him to death. Like Tony Perkins did Janet Leigh in Psycho.
Now that motherfucker really loved his mama.
Then I thought, no. You know what I'll do? I'll push his ass down the stairs like Richard Widmark did that old bat in Kiss of Death. Remember Tommy Udo?
I didn't see that one.
Did you ever consider letting me go, like Claude Rains did to John Garfield, and they made me a criminal?
Shit, I hated that movie.
Yeah, well, there's bad luck for you. I like that movie.
Unfortunately for you, Max, this is one time when life will not imitate art.
All right. Reggie, listen. I told you. This is the movie business, and that there was always a chance that we could take a loss. I told you.
A loss? I just went by the theater. You haven't sold one goddamn ticket. That's got to be some sort of fucking record.
Yeah, but that's not my fault. I didn't do anything. Those goddamn Catholics, they all went crazy. They won't let people into the theaters. But this is going to blow over. Wait and see. And all this press is great for us. You can't buy this kind of publicity.
Listen to me, Max. This piece of shit cost me $350,000. I want my money back. All of it.
Yeah, but I don't have your money. It's up on the screen.
Sure hit. That's what you said.
I said that?
Yeah.
I said that.
Guaranteed hit.
We all heard you say that bullshit.
Well, Reggie, come on, I'm a producer. You can't always believe every word I say when I'm trying to raise money. I mean, I get carried away. That's normal. Just give me time. Give me time and I'll have your money. I'll have all your money, I promise.
You're lying.
I swear to you, I'm not lying. I'm lying a little bit, but hear me out. I'm a hustler. I'm a producer. And that's what I do. And I promise you, I will look under every rock, every nook, every cranny. I will leave no stone unturned. I will leave no resource untapped until I have your money in full. I promise you.
With Vic.
Yeah, with Vic, of course.
All right, you got 72 hours.
72 hours.
After that, I choke you to death.
Like Tony Curtis in The Boston Strangler?
You bet.
Okay. I like that movie.
Max arrives outside a large house in Beverly Hills with neat manicured gardens. A valet opens the door for Max, then enters the car. Max lets himself into the property, where a party is in full swing.
Security! Security, who the fuck let this guy in here?
Honey, Max Barber.
Jimmy Moore.
I prefer James.
Well, I remember you when you were just a kid.
That was a long time ago, Max.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
Can we go somewhere private to talk?
Sure thing.
James leads Max to his office.
So, let me guess, you need money.
Is it that obvious?
No, I can't tell from your eyes. I can't tell from your posture. You've always concealed your motives well. That's one of the many things I learned from working with you, Max. Never let them know what's really going on inside of you. Sit down. It's all over the street, Max. You owe $350,000 to Reggie Fontaine for your latest opus.
Look, Jimmy, I mean, James. It's all short term, believe me.
Huh. Oh. Well, you got a whole string of hits you're putting together?
All right. Very funny.
I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you, Max. I'm happy to give it to you. For old time's sake.
Thank you.
I'm just gonna need one thing in return. Terry Miller's script, Paradise. I want it.
No, Jimmy.
It's the best script I've ever read. It's a guaranteed best picture for me, and I want it.
I can't. Anything but that.
You can't get it made, Max. It'll cost $10 million to make that picture the right way. I can get that kind of money in a heartbeat. You couldn't put that kind of money together in a dozen lifetimes. Why are you being so goddamn stubborn?
That script is my baby. It's what keeps me going, Jimmy. I can't do it.
Wait. You forget who brought it to you?
Yeah, you did. So what? And look who put all the work into it. Look who had to fuck his widow to get her hand over the rights. You did? No, I did. You know what courage that took?
You had a chance to make it years ago when you were almost somebody.
Yeah, you wanted to make it with Frank Pierce, but Christ.
Frank Pierce is a movie star.
Frank Pierce is a bum. He's wrong for the part. He's dead wrong. You'd have ruined it.
At least there would have been something to ruin. $350,000, Max. I'll write you the check right now. I get that script once and for all, and you avoid a shallow grave.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
$500,000, Max.
Absolutely not. I can't.
$750,000.
I can't.
All right. $1 million, Max.
$1 million. No, I can't. Fucking way am I ever going to let you have that script? Every scene is perfect. Every word is a gem. You're beneath that script. You don't deserve it. I'm never going to let you have it. You're just going to ruin it. You're going to ruin it like the Frank Pierce.
You know what? Fine. You can't just
give me the money. You've got to put me through this fucking humiliation.
I'll just make it with Walter once you're dead.
Will that script to Ed Wood before I let you get your greasy fucking hands on it.
Yeah, say
fuck
hi
you.
To Reggie for me, you yeah, stubborn no, son of a bitch. You know what? You make fucking garbage, and I win Oscars.
In a dazed state, Max ambles out of the house. An aerial view of the Hollywood sign. A man's jackhammering the road outside Miracle Motion Pictures. Max parks his car opposite his office block. As he gets out of the car, his eyes lift to his company sign above the door. Max enters the office.
Morning.
Morning. What's this?
It's a present from Jimmy Moore, but it's an odd one. What does that card mean? Somebody die?
No idea. He also sent this.
Why the hell would he send you a shovel and a bag of lye?
It's an inside joke between the two of us.
You want to let me in on it?
Not really. Any messages?
Yeah. Reggie Fontaine. He just said 48 hours. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
You don't know much this morning, do you?
Walter. You're my nephew. If anything, God forbid, would have happened to me, all this would be yours. So I suppose you have the right to know what's going on. We both know that Jimmy Moore has wanted paradise for forever.
Yeah.
And, well, last night, he made me an offer to buy the script.
How much?
It was a lot.
How much is a lot?
$1 million.
Oh, $1 million. What'd you say?
What do you think I said?
I would imagine you said yes.
I said no.
What? Are you kidding? It's $1 million.
Walter, what are we if we don't have our dreams?
Rich.
Walter, no. Walter, this script, Paradise, is one of the greatest scripts ever written. We'd win Academy Awards. Me and you up there on the stage taking bows, up at the podium thanking each other.
But $1 million. I mean, with $1 million, we'd not only be out of hock, we'd be living the good life. With $1 million, we could make a dozen more movies.
I can't stand the thought of him making this film. After all the fucking work I did, why should he be doing this? Why should he be taking bows, receiving accolades, when I did all the fucking work? It was me! Don't you get that, me?
I'm not an idiot. I know you're in trouble.
I'm in trouble? Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Come on, the flowers and the shovel and the lie and someone saying 48 hours. Come on, I'm not an idiot.
What exactly are you getting at?
Well, I think that you haven't painted the most accurate portrait of our investor, Mr. Fontaine.
You know, it's Walter, sometimes you stun me with your ability to connect the dots. That's amazing.
Oh, don't patronize me.
I'm not patronizing.
Yes, you're being very patronizing.
I'm not patronizing.
Yes, you are. You're talking down to me like I'm not patronizing.
Yes, you are. All right. Yes, all right. We're in trouble. We've been in trouble before. We're always in trouble. We always find a way out, Walter. That's what we do. We're Miracle Motion Pictures. What's our motto?
Stop with the motto. Okay, look, you were talking about miracles yesterday.
Yeah.
How they're out there. All we have to do is recognize them when they present themselves. I'll tell you what a miracle is. It's a miracle that Jimmy Moore wants to cut you a check. For $1 million. Oh, for some stupid script.
How could you say stupid script? Don't you... How did you say stupid script? You take that back right now, Walter. You worked on this stupid... Walter!
For once in your life, please be practical. Sell the script. Take the money. Let's look at that. Look at this place. Let's turn our lives around. Turn your life around while you still got it. Okay? Please. It's the adult thing to do.
Clutching the script in his hands, Max takes a moment to deliberate. In James's office.
So then we all agree, $1,000,002.
All eyes fall on Max as they wait for his response.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, Max. It's the adult thing to do.
That's exactly what I said, Jimmy. James.
And I'll have the paperwork drawn up and over to you by 6 o'clock tonight. And in the spirit of being adult, here is a down payment. $350,000. So that you can take care of your investor issues. Take it, Max. Again, it's the adult thing to do.
Check in hand, he crouches down before Max slumped on a sofa. Walter nods at his uncle. Max finally accepts the money.
He's kidding, right?
No, he's not kidding.
You're not kidding, Max?
Hey, stop it. Hey, we're gonna find you another great script.
Hey, why don't you guys come by the set? Okay, it's the first day of shooting. Frank Pierce is gonna be there. He's gonna perform a terrific stunt.
Frank Pierce is my favorite actor.
Oh, well, I'm gonna cast him as the lead in Paradise.
Oh, that's exciting. We love Frank Pierce. Let's go visit the set, huh? And see him do a stunt. I would love to meet Frank Pierce.
Hey, you're not kidding.
No, let's go meet Frank Pierce.
Frank, give me a second. Get you strapped up, bud.
There you go, darling. Hey, did I tell you guys about a new Oldsmobile 442?
Huh?
Yeah. It's got a rocket 455 in it. Cops chasing me all over Longhorn last night. Couldn't catch me.
The film crew prepped the scene on a rooftop.
Wow. A real movie set.
Come on. Act like you've been on set before.
That's Frank Pierce. Frank Pierce right there.
Yeah, I see it. Certainly is. You want to go say hi?
Oh, do you think I could? I don't want to bother him.
No, it's no bother. I called ahead and told him you were coming, and he said as soon as you got here to just go right over.
Okay, I'll be right back.
You know Frank's world from Paradise.
He's a movie star, Max. One of the biggest in the world. With him, the picture gets an automatic green light.
He doesn't have the gravitas to play the lead character. This is a story about dreams. It's stuff that lingers in men's souls. It's about a man who refuses to conform, who goes on a quest.
Excuse me, Mr. Pierce. I'm so sorry to bother you. I'm Walter Creason. James said I could say hi.
Yo, guys, can we lock it up? Where's security?
Oh, no,
What's going on around here?
I'm James Moore's associate friend, acquaintance.
Oh, that's right. Jimmy's friend. Hey, yeah. Nice to meet you.
Max. I know the goddamn story.
But Jimmy, James, this is my letter to the world. How many more movies can I make? You remember when I was starting this project? Please, just consider it. We can't have someone like Frank. Frank is totally wrong. You need someone who's not happy with the way things are. You need someone who's looking for a better world, looking for a better life, who's tortured and living in an alternate universe, but ultimately is forced to confront the demons of his own reality.
You sound like you'd be perfect for the part.
Yeah. What?
It's nice to meet you. Hey, can I shake your hand? I'm your biggest fan.
Please.
Break. You're not strapped in yet.
Can you calm down, please?
Hey.
Not like I haven't done this a million times before, you know what I mean?
He's Frank Pierce. I think he knows what he's doing.
Please don't use him. I'll do anything.
What happened to you, Max?
Nothing.
Honestly,
just please don't make...
Max I used to know would kill to get his movie made.
Respect my age, James.
Don't let me down anymore.
You're embarrassing me, Max.
This is sad.
Me.
Hey, can I get your autograph?
Frank stands on a ledge.
Please.
Sure. Just let it go, Max. Let it go.
This is my letter to the world. Please.
No. I'm giving it to Frank Pierce.
Fuck you, Frank.
Here's a pen.
Give me a fucking break.
Frank loses his balance and falls off the building.
Frank! Frank!
Frank lands on a bus. The pen falls to the street.
Looks like that's lunch.
With a smirk on his face, Max starts to leave.
Such a wonderful day. Yes, a wonderful day. I just saw a movie star fall away.
Walter, did you see the look on his face?
Who's Frank's?
How could you see the look on Frank's face? He was 20 stories down. I'm talking about Jimmy watching his dreams implode just like Frank's head when he hit that bus. I mean, that look was fucking priceless! Priceless! Oh, I loved it, I loved it, I loved it, I loved it. Oh, and I have you to thank for that, Walter.
What? What do I mean?
Because if you hadn't twisted my arm to go and sign this deal, this whole thing never would have happened.
Oh, God.
You're right, Walter. Oh, God, it's at times like this that I actually believe in the big guy upstairs.
It's so incredibly horrible.
Schadenfreude, Walter, that's what it's called. That's what the Germans call it. Pleasure derived from the misfortune of others. Leave it to the crowds to come up with an actual word for it. You know, I don't want this party to end. I want to go back to my place and I want to get drunk.
I think I'm going to throw up.
You can do whatever you want. I'm going back there and I am going to get drunk. Celebrate. It's on. Come on. It's on. Walter, come on.
I don't want to see it.
Oh, come on. You have to. It's part of the healing process. Come on.
In sad news today, come on. Hollywood is mourning the loss of one of their own. Frank Pierce, renowned for doing all of his own stunts, died today in a fall from the Los Angeles courthouse.
Yeah, we're just shocked.
Can you believe this asshole going on TV like this, sucking up all the glory for himself? You're a dick. You're a dick, you little shithead.
At this time, I would also like to say that the whole production, you know, we're going to cancel it.
Look at this guy. He's a fucking phony.
My God. I love you, Frank. Frank, here's man.
Did you hear that? Guess whose movie fell apart this time, jerk-off? Yours did. It fell. Get it?
It is worth noting, however, that because Pierce did all of his own stunts, he was insured for $5 million, a portion of which James Moore is planning to donate to a foundation set up in Pierce's
$5 million. Oh, my God. $5 million. The scumbag walks away with $5 million. He doesn't shoot a frame, a fucking film, and he makes $5 million. I mean, I'm beaten. I'm done. He's the devil. I don't have enough holy water, crucifixes, garlic, or wolfbane to fight this fucking son of a... You're a fucking crook!
Okay.
You little fucking shit!
Okay.
This is a fucking crook! This is crazy! I'm fucking killing me! You see where I live in this fucking shithole? And you little fucking fake fucking...
You're gonna give
you
me,
little shit!
You're gonna give yourself a stroke.
Oh, yeah, please, God, give me a fucking stroke. Let me die. Let me go right now. Let me die. This is so fucking unjust.
Somebody at the door, can you please
come? What more do I need?
Hi. Delivery from Mr. Barber from James Moore.
Give us a second and we'll get back to you, okay?
Thank you.
The final nail in the coffin. Get me a pen, Walter, so I can stab myself to death and put myself out of my fucking misery.
You're thinking about this the wrong way, Uncle Max.
I am?
You're not putting yourself in James's shoes.
James's shoes?
You remember, remember on Killer Nuns when Bernadette's habit caught on fire?
Yeah.
Well, how would you have felt if she burned to death? And all you had to show for it was a lousy insurance check.
Max is struck with an idea. A smile plays across his lips. He turns to Walter.
You know what, Walter? As always, you're right.
Thank you.
Out of sight from Walter, Max signs the contract with Fuck You. Sincerely, Max Barber.
All right. Let's give this back to James.
You did it. You went through with it. I gotta be honest, I didn't think you were gonna go through with it.
Of course I'm gonna go through with it. There you go. Wait. Let's give the young man a nice tip here for going out of his way.
Sure. Here you go. And that's for you. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you. You did it. You signed it. You went through it. I'm so proud of you. How does it feel?
Surprisingly wonderful and invigorating. I feel very inspired all of a sudden. A whole new sense of purpose is washing over me, Walter. We're making our next movie, and I want to be in production as soon as we can. It'll be our greatest venture into the world of cinema.
I love it when you get inspired. What script do you want to make?
What?
What script do you want to make?
The blue one.
The blue one?
Yeah.
This is the oldest gun in the West. This is Uncle Eddie's script.
Yeah, may rest in peace. The oldest gun in the West. It's perfect.
You hate this script.
Hate it. Past tense.
So you like it now?
Like it. I love it. I can't think of anything more worthy of being put on celluloid.
That's what I've been saying forever.
I know.
Well, I love this script. How could you not love the story about the washed-up cowboy finding out that he has Indian blood and then helping his tribe drive out all the bigoted members of the town that have settled on their land after screwing them over in a horrible land deal?
It's a magnificent story.
Oh, my God, all this time I thought you weren't even listening to me.
Of course I've been listening. Just sometimes takes a little time for the words to sink into this skull of mine. So what do you say, Walter? How about it?
Are you kidding me? I am so in, partner.
Let's go find our star.
Okay. Back at it.
In a nursing home, a man playing chess shakily lifts the pawn. Max and Walter arrive at the home.
I don't know about this one, Max. These people look really
talented.
Old.
Yeah, that's the point.
There's a lot of dangerous stunts in this.
I know. Walter, my dear nephew, who doesn't love a comeback? Think of what we're going to do. We're going to give one of these forgotten souls one last shot at glory while giving their adoring public, our ticket buyers, the chance to relive their childhoods. I mean, that's beautiful, isn't it?
It kind of is when you put it that way.
It is. Yeah. Come on.
The men ascend a flight of stairs, enter the building, then head towards the reception desk.
Morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Are you here to tour the facility?
Well, not in the manner that you're thinking. We're producers, film producers. My name is Max Barber. This is my partner, Walter Greeson, and we're from Miracle Motion Pictures. We're looking to cast our male lead in our new film.
Oh.
Did you say producers?
Yes, I did.
I lived in New York for 35 years. I did 16 Broadway musicals. I'm a singer, I'm a dancer. I did 2 shows with Bob Fosse.
Pack! What you need is someone with real acting chops, not some old hoofer. I starred alongside Laurence Olivier, Ingrid Bergman, and Orson Welles.
That's impressive.
That's impressive.
Oh, you want to see impressive? Watch this. Whoa! 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 Oh, my heart! Help! Oh, doctor!
The elderly man poops himself as he drops to the ground.
Tell me if he's not actually dead. That was pretty damn convincing.
Look at that shit. If he's not even dead, what you need is a strong female character.
I think we'll probably go just a little bit younger with the female.
I was a child actor.
Were you?
Maybe he saw me in The Dead Inkins. I was the kid on the end. Oh, you gotta get me out of here.
Come on back to my room and I'll show you just how right I am for the role.
Uncle Max, one of them's got me.
I'm trying. No, I'll pay you. Put me in the trunk of your car. Just take me with you.
Just take your fucking hands off.
Take me with you. Go. We'll talk to you later.
A line of elderly people follow Max and Walter down a hallway. A nurse does chest compressions on the actor.
Walter, here.
They enter Duke Montana's room.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, my God, you're Duke Montana, the man with the golden lasso.
Hey, look, you think you fellas could give me a little privacy here?
You're Duke Montana?
Yeah, that's Duke Montana. What are you doing, Duke Montana?
My daily game of Russian roulette.
You could kill yourself doing something like that.
It's more like euthanasia.
But it's wrong.
Wrong? I'm going to kill somebody, son. You reckon
it all? Wait, you'd rather be you?
Duke. Mr. Montana, you can't kill us. We're producers.
I've always wanted to kill producers.
Well, even ones that came here to give you your next part?
The next part.
That's right, Duke. Now, if you put that gun down, my partner here and I would like to offer you the leading role in our next film.
Shit. Can we just have a quick chat?
Yeah. Excuse us a moment.
One moment.
Yeah.
Him. You're offering him the part.
Yeah, I'm offering him the part. He's perfect.
He's suicidal.
He's a star, Walter. He's worked with John Ford, John Huston. He's perfect.
That was 20 years
so
ago.
So what? Think about all the pain and hardship and anguish that must have brought him to this very moment in his life when he's ready to kill himself. Imagine bringing that pain to this character. I mean, that's charisma. That's depth. That's gravitas.
That's insane.
No,
let me
it's
see
not
if
insane. You don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not interested. I'm totally washed up. I have no desire whatsoever to make any kind of a goddamn comeback. I just want to die. Comprende, amigo? Comprende, amigos?
Duke, I've got to tell you, as an experienced producer, you are perfect for this particular part. I can't think of anybody better than you.
You know what? Let's leave him alone. I think he might be afraid.
Afraid? Duke Montana, not afraid of a goddamn thing.
No, Duke, I didn't mean afraid of
you. You don't think I can do this role?
No, you're the one who said that you were finished.
I'll be the judge of that.
That's right. You let him be the judge of that.
He was the judge of that.
He is the judge of it.
And I'm the judge of it. You both judge close.
He groans, having broken a framed photo.
Oh.
Duke picks up the Head and Shoulders picture of the pretty young black woman. Gun in hand, he takes a moment to observe it. Standing by the door, Max and Walter watch on.
I'm in, fellas. I am in. Duke, congratulations. Yeah.
The men shake hands. Duke turns his attention back to the picture of Bess. Duke presses a doorbell.
No. Hey, is Bess home?
No, Mr. Montana, she's not here.
Yet. Will she be back later?
No, sir. She's out of town.
Oh. You know, she's been reading my letters and throwing them out. Oh, hell, never mind. That's not a fair question. I'll just tell her that I was here. Please, you tell her that I came by.
Sure.
He hands the young black woman a bunch of roses. Max pulls over in front of his house. He stares at the humble property, then drives on. Later, he peers through the glass in his front door. Reggie, Devin, and Kenny are in his lounge. He opens the door and goes inside holding a takeaway.
Hey! This guy should pay rent.
I hope that's my money you got in that bag, Max.
Well, I got Mughal Guy pan, I got ribs, egg rolls maybe, anything else?
Huh? All I want is my money. Well, just give me my money, and me and the boys will be on our way.
Well, on an empty stomach, come on. Reggie, why don't you guys grab some plates over in the cupboard over there and over here get some silverware over in this drawer over here, and then I can tell you how you can make some real money. How about five times more than your money?
Don't tell me you want me to invest in another goddamn movie, Max. That's the exact same spiel you used before.
But the difference is that this time I can absolutely guarantee that you're going to make a ton of money.
You guaranteed it the last time.
Same shit, different day, Max.
Then I'm guaranteeing it again with a completely new guarantee. How about that?
All right, that's enough. Choke the fucking life out of
me. No, please. Let me go.
What?
Don't you really hear what I have to say?
About some goddamn movie? No, all I want to hear is you struggling to breathe.
Reggie, I'm telling you, this can't fail. Just listen. You can crush my windpipe in a minute. But just listen.
All right, Max, 1 minute. You got 1 minute.
Okay. Oh boy. Yeah, look, I got a script. I've got Duke Montana.
Duke Montana?
Yeah, Duke Montana.
He's alive?
Yeah, barely, but he's alive. All I need to get this payday going, all I need to do to get this absolute guaranteed payday off the ground, just some money, that's all. Just a little money.
How much money, Max?
$1 million?
Kill him.
No, that's not a minute. You said to give me a minute. That's not a minute. You said to give me a minute. Come this way. We're not really going to be making a movie. We're going to make it look like we're shooting a movie. It's a scam.
Whoa, wait. Let him go. Come over here, Maxie. Have a seat. Now you're speaking my language. What do you mean a scam?
A scam. But we make it look like we're actually going to be putting together a movie. That we're serious about it. The bigger the better. We make an entire movie. We heavily insure the star who will do his own stunts, which Duke Montana will do, and on the first day of shooting, bang, we kill him in a stunt, he's dead. And the insurance companies, they pay us all off. And then what? We're rich. We're rich.
You say you got egg rolls?
Yeah.
Find the egg rolls.
Kenny goes through the bag looking for the egg rolls. Max breathes a sigh of relief. An aerial view of the large white Hollywood sign. James wears a quizzical expression on his face as he reads a newspaper on his terrace. Walter drives Max and Duke to their office.
How is it a guy making a $1 million movie don't have a better car?
Well, Duke, I don't believe in ostentatious flamboyance. I believe it corrupts and it corrodes the creative process.
Creative process? Your last movie was about a bunch of fucking nuns slicing people with ribbons. That ain't exactly Shakespeare.
I'm trying to hurt my feelings, aren't you?
You got feelings now? You told me you're a motion picture producer.
Fine, okay. Any other sober insights you'd like to get off your chest?
Yeah. Who in the hell would finance a $1 million movie with me? A broke down, over the hill, has-been act. Don't make any sense.
Max is financing it himself, Duke. Yeah, he just came into a bunch of money. He's putting every dime he has into it.
You really did that?
Yes, I did.
What, are you stupid?
No, Duke. I'm not stupid at all. I believe in you. I believe in Duke Montana, and I believe your big comeback is exactly what the world wants to see right now.
They arrive at the Miracle Motion Pictures building.
He is the oldest gun in the West. Great. Yeah, he's not what he used to be. No, shaking hands, failing eyesight. So, I want to shoot the whole movie with a camera that is always shaking. Yeah? The camera, it's like it has its Parkinson's disease, Parkinson's Krankheit, nicht, you understand?
Yeah.
And all of it should be out of focus, yeah? Just like his failing eyesight. Yeah, the whole movie should be shaking and out of focus, all of it, die ganze Zeit.
Yeah, that's a way to go.
Oppression, motherfuckers. That's what this movie is about. Indians ain't nothing but niggas of the West, oppressed by whitey and the cavalry of the man. When this white cracker old fame motherfucker finds out he's got Indian blood coursing through his veins, so what does he do? He embraces his own inner nigga and takes over the goddamn imperialist government machine. You smell that? Smells like an Oscar.
Well, I felt like I really connected to the story, and especially the main character. As a matter of fact, my heart broke for him. It seemed as if he was living a lie. It was as if all along he knew that he was something else. He just didn't know how to express it. I know this character. I know this character very well. And I know that if you give me a chance, I can do a great job.
But you're a woman.
So?
No, it's, you know, it's just kind of like a guy's movie, right?
Yeah, a lot of gunfights, big stunts, drinking, womanizing.
But your movie is so much more than just that.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
She'll do. Hire her.
But Duke, with all due respect, it's sort of a guy's movie, you know?
Yeah. Hire her.
Yeah, but Duke, it's like a rootin' tootin' Western, you know? It's very masculine.
Okay. A star has spoken.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. You won't be disappointed. Thank you, Mr. Montana. You know, when I was a little girl, my dad would take me to the movies to see you. When he'd appear on screen, he'd say, "Now that is a hero." That's what a real man looks and sounds like. Well, now I know. He was right. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
The newly appointed director, Megan, exits the room.
She'll do.
Sitting in the corner of Max's office, Duke knocks back his drink. Time passes. An aerial shot of a truck pulling a trailer along a remote country road. Horses roam free across the sun-scorched land. On a movie set in Lone Pine, California. Walter walks into a bar and takes a seat in front of Max.
Sitting all alone? Uncle Max, I don't know how you did it, but once again, you pulled it off.
No, thank you, Walter.
These people are ready to die for you.
Not the best choice of words, but again, thank you.
and the setting, the atmosphere. It's perfect. Uncle Eddie would be very proud of us.
May he rest in peace.
Amen. By the way, the cherry on top, did you see that old drive-in we passed on the way up?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's pretty beat up, but I asked around. The projector still works. We could screen our dailies underneath the stars. How great would that be?
Wonderful.
We should do it.
Yeah, that's. We will.
Definitely going to do that. Oh, you know, I'm just so happy. I've heard this expression before, but I never understood it until this movie. I know what they mean when they say movie magic.
Listen.
I'm very proud to be your partner. To success.
In whatever form she may come.
Mr. Barber, the animal trainer's here for you.
Oh. Excuse me, Walter.
Sure. That's exciting.
Oh, hey, Mr. Barber.
Hey there, Duke. Everything all right?
Oh, sure. Fine. I'm just thinking about having a drink.
Good, 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 good. We'll have a whole bunch. Charge it all to me.
That's very kind of you, Mr. Barber.
No problem. My pleasure.
Hey, Mr. Barber. You paying for everyone's drink?
No, not yours.
Max Barber. Bob Stillwater.
Hey, Bob. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
What?
Here he is. This is going to be our stunt horse, old Butterscotch.
Beautiful horse.
Oh, he's not just a horse.
He's not?
No, Butterscotch's a champion. A giant. Well, he's a legend amongst legends. Mm-hmm. John Wayne said it's the greatest horse he's ever ridden.
He did?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Tell him, Butterscotch. Tell Mr. Barber how many movies you made with John Wayne. See, that'll be one. And that'll be two.
Wow, boy.
And that'll be three. And that'll be four. Oh, now he's just lying. You stop all that lying, Butterscotch. Sometimes they'll do that. I got this. Oh, somebody's telling me you want to know everything old Butterscotch here can do.
Well, I do, Bob. Why don't we discuss over a couple of drinks inside?
Oh, you read my mind. Johnny Carson.
Well, how's it going?
Where's he going?
Yeah.
He's going back to the trailer, settle in, take a nap, watch the Tonight Show.
The Tonight Show?
The Tonight Show. Don Rickles is a guest. Wow. That's got to be Butterscotch's favorite.
Well, who doesn't like Don Rickles?
That's quite the impressive steed you got there, Bob, I gotta say. I mean, when I saw him take off for his trail at the Cat's Carson, I said, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Well, actually, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You should see everything he can do.
Like what?
Like what?
Yeah.
Well, like if you say the word pumpkin, he's gonna bow.
Bow?
Yeah. And if you say the word mattress, he'd lay down. Hey, listen, if you say the word rocket,
then what?
He's gone like a bat out of hell. Oh, yeah, hey, sassafras.
What happens?
You rear straight up.
He rears up?
Straight up.
That's something.
That is something.
I heard there was a word that if you... Yeah. Even suggest even the beginning of it, somehow he will just
apeshit. No.
You sure, man?
No.
If you just tell me, I mean, I'm not going to say anything to anybody. Just,
no, no,
just
no,
curious.
No, no. It's too dangerous. You're going to get somebody hurt.
I'll take my chances.
You sure?
I'll never say it in front of him. I'm just curious.
Now listen.
Okay.
If you're that stupid,
yeah,
it's rhubarb. Rhubarb.
What happens?
No. You don't want to go there.
No.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Oh, but hey, let me get a light
from you.
Yeah,
come on,
everybody.
With Bob distracted, Max pours a powder into his drink and stirs it.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Look at you, man. Yeah, I worked out. Very good for you, man.
Well. Two Butterscotch.
Oh, yeah, the Butterscotch, huh?
Amazing horse. Just got to make a couple of notes about tomorrow's shoot. Bob, give me a second.
Max shuffles down the bar and writes the words onto a napkin. Duke approaches Max. He hides his notes with his hand.
I want to thank you, sir.
Oh, about what?
I'm no ingrate, Mr. Barber. I think I've been a little bit tough on you.
Oh.
I found most producers to be the lowest form of human life imaginable, you know. Kind of people throw their own mother out the window just for a ham sandwich.
You, sir, you're different.
Thank you, Dick. If it wasn't for you, I'd be 6 foot under up on Boot Hill right now. Uh-huh.
Duke retreats from the bar. Max continues to jot down the various command words.
Kalispell, just outside of Whitefish, you ever hear of it?
No, I didn't.
My dad raised me to be a farmer, not a cowboy. We raised wheat, barley, lentils, garlic, sugar beets the size of pumpkins, homemade sarsaparilla. No
kidding, what? I have a very important note I have to write here.
Well, I can't help you.
Well, no, it's...
What I'm talking about is fragrance to the rhododendron, Mr. Barber.
The rhododendrons.
The lonesome cry of the mischievous coyote. Flathead Indians, Missouri breaks.
That's nice.
Wigwams.
I have no idea what you're saying, but it sounds nice.
What I'm trying to say, Mr. Barber, is that you are a cool drink of Cheyenne spring water after a long gallop across the golden arid prairie.
Thanks.
I am sorry about that here.
Big help, thank you.
Duke spills his drink on Max's notes.
Thanks.
Max glances to his left. Bob's asleep, head propped on the bar. Max takes another napkin and rewrites his notes. A new day. American Indian men ride horses across the desert. A wind turbine spins at speed in the breeze. Water approaches Megan.
Right there.
Perfect.
Megan, are you sure you want to shoot that way? You'll be shooting directly into the sun.
I want my star backlit. I want him to look glorious. Now put the camera right there.
Yes, perfect. Megan, hi. Yeah. All the wagons are brown. Can we just please add a splash of color in there somewhere?
No, Danny. I want them to look real. You know, dirty. Like the wagons have traveled hundreds of miles across the plains.
Got it. More brown. Why am I even here?
All right, everyone. We better get this film finished. Let's go.
This is our first shot.
Yeah, that's what I said. Finish me one step closer to the end. That's good.
Max, we need to have a safety meeting.
Yeah, good idea.
Like, now?
Hey, Duke.
No!
Yeah, we're gonna start filming now. You mind hopping on old butterscotch here?
Be right there.
Okay. Max and Walter watch Duke as he endeavors to climb onto butterscotch.
Where's Bob?
Well, Bob's not feeling so great today, but don't worry. He told me everything we need to know.
Are you sure? Is that safe,
Walter? Are you questioning my professionalism, my dedication to my craft, which hasn't seen an accident in over a year?
Our last film wrapped a year and a half ago.
Irrelevant. And even if something would have happened, which it won't,
we have the best set medic in Hollywood standing by right over there. Mattress!
Butterscotch lies on his side, enabling Duke to climb on.
I'll ask you next time to get all your facts straight before you attempt to slander my good name, Walter.
I'm sorry.
Are you sure you can be able to do this stunt, Duke?
Of course he can do this stunt. He's Duke Montana.
I'll be fine.
You know, you look pretty handsome up there on that horse.
He reaches for Megan's hand and kisses it.
Let's make a movie.
Everybody set for one. Picture's up.
Megan, I have an idea if I may suggest something.
Sure, Max.
Well, I was thinking instead of just a simple jump, why don't we make this look really spectacular?
I'm listening.
Well, this being the first shot of our movie and our introduction to Duke, instead of him just galloping along and jumping into frame, why don't we do it through a wall of fire? Let's set the wagons ablaze and have Duke and his beloved steed jump through the flames, sail through the air, and land right into a close-up to save the settlers.
That sounds very dangerous.
That sounds great. Get those wagons lit!
Great. Set them ablaze. That'll be some color. Are you sure we shouldn't talk to the trainers about this? It's very dangerous. I know, usually you rehearse
Walter,
the horse.
Walter, for the last time, I know what I'm doing. Stop fucking bothering me.
Ready and action!
Waving their axes in the air, American Indian men ride their horses at full pelt towards the burning wagons. women run and hide behind the wagons. A man with a bow and arrow jumps from his horse. As he takes aim, he's shot. Another man leaps from his horse and slams his axe repeatedly onto a cowboy's back. Max, Walter, Megan, Frank and the crew watch the action with an intense interest. Duke rides his horse towards the fighting. As he reaches the burning wagons, Butterscotch stops, throwing Duke through the flames. Duke lands on the ground. The crew watch on open-mouthed in horror. With his arms and legs on fire, Duke slides across the dusty terrain. Megan gasps and holds a hand over her mouth. Walter rushes to Duke's aid.
Duke! Medic!
Oh, cruel hand of fate that has dealt us these cards. I can see it now in the obituary in Variety. Duke Montana, he died with his boots on. If he were alive right now, I know he would be saying...
Where's that damn horse here?
Duke, my God, you're alive.
There you are. If I come off you again, me and you's fixing to have some fisticuffs. Is that clear? All right, then. Let's do this again, Wardrow! Try to stay handy, will you?
Duke, are you sure?
Oh, hell yes, I'm sure. I just need to talk to my director.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That was so close.
Yeah, that was close. That could have been a big tragedy. We could have had a big tragedy.
We're so lucky.
Yeah, we are lucky. Yeah.
Reset! Let's go again!
Back to one!
And... action!
Cameras roll. The horsemen with their bow and arrows and axes descend on the cowboys' burning wagons. The women take cover. The cowboys start to fire at the Indians. Duke rides in on his horse. Megan watches on with trepidation as Duke picks up speed and lines up his horse to jump over the burning wagons. Walter hangs on to Max's shoulder, barely able to watch. The stunt is executed perfectly. Duke and Butterscotch clear the burning carriage. The crew are ecstatic. Max looks on in disbelief. Duke rides over to the crew.
Perfect. Great. Moving on.
Shouldn't we just get one more for safety, for protection? And maybe we should set up an even bigger fire, you know, to make it more effective? We could at least try that.
I like what I got. We're moving.
You know, I'm really starting to like her. She's very decisive.
Hey, Duke. Hey, Duke, great job up there. I like what you're doing. Can I get you anything like root beer with sassafras?
No, sir, I don't care for root beer.
How about something for lunch? How about lentil soup?
Oh, that'd be swell. I like a little soup.
How about pumpkin?
Butterscotch lowers his front leg so Duke can dismount.
Lentils? No, thank you, sir.
Max addresses Butterscotch.
What do you look so happy about?
Stood behind Butterscotch, Max checks his notes.
Rhapsody.
Max checks for a reaction from Butterscotch. The horse turns to look at him.
Robot.
Max gets kicked off his feet by Butterscotch. As he comes to, Butterscotch is looming over him.
Jesus, Uncle Max. Are you okay? You took off like a rocket.
Butterscotch gallops off across the countryside.
My horse. My Butterscotch. Just like that, gone. That horse looked up to me like I was his father. And I looked at him like he was my son.
Oh, don't worry, Bob. We're insured.
Insured? Did you realize my horse is priceless? And I'm going to sue you. And I'm going to sue you and whoever else is responsible in financing this debacle for every penny you're worth.
Bob stomps out of Max's hotel room. Walter holds an ice pack on his uncle's head.
What's this problem?
I don't know. You know, on the bright side, this is one of our best first days ever.
Best? Best? What are you talking about? I mean, we lost our featured horse. We're getting sued. I got ejected from my own feet. Duke Montana is still...
Still what? Still as good as ever? Because he was incredible today. And Megan says she got some fantastic stuff.
How does she know?
I have no idea. You're the one that wanted to hire her, but she's our director.
I'm not talking to anybody. You hear me? Nobody. I don't care if it's Christ on a cross.
Okay.
Nobody.
Okay.
Hello. It's Reggie Fontaine.
Give me the phone. Hey, Reggie. How are you?
Thanks for calling.
So, cowboy. Dead, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, not.
What do you mean?
No.
You said dead. You said dead by noon. Dead. Like William Holden in Sunset Boulevard.
Well, you don't know what he's doing.
He's doing great, actually, today. Yeah.
I mean, you should have seen him. He was like amazing, jumping a horse like he was only 50. It was really, really something to see.
I don't want to hear that shit. I want to hear that he died tragically.
We're going to make that happen, Reggie. Wait and see. Tomorrow we're shooting this fantastic rope bridge scene. I mean, you've never seen a chasm this deep. I mean, it's going to be a real killer. Wait till you see.
It better be. Because if not, I'm going to hunt it down. I'll hunt it down like LaForest did Newman and Redfoot and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. You hear me?
Thank you, Reggie. Thank you. And again, thanks for the call. It was very nice of you.
Reggie, I told you I never trusted that motherfucker.
Sat on the side of a boxing ring, Reggie deliberates his thoughts.
What a sport.
Why the hell is Reggie Fontaine calling you?
What?
Why is Reggie Fontaine calling you?
But I don't think I like your tone.
Well, I'm sorry, but I want to know why he's calling you.
Well, why do you think?
I have no idea. That's why I'm asking.
I'll tell you why. Because the word must already be out there.
What word?
The word that every producer wants to hear being said about their movie on the first day of production.
I have no idea. What's the friggin' word?
Hit.
No.
Yes, Walter. Hit. And that's what we've got.
Really?
A hit. It's already on the street. Already on the lips of people in the know. Being whispered like the wind in every corner of Tinseltown. And it's obvious that Mr. Fontaine is trying to work his way back into my good graces. But you heard what I said. I was nice to him, but I really was telling him to go fuck himself.
Yes! I hit. I knew it. I was feeling it. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I have to be honest. I thought you were up to something shady again.
I'll forgive you this time, Walter.
Thank you.
An aerial view of Max traveling in his car along a winding country road at dusk. He parks up on the side of the road. Exiting his car, he pulls out a large knife. Max starts to saw a plank of wood on a hanging bridge, spanning a river running through a deep ravine. A new day dawns. Birds fly across a cloud-filled sky. Max and the crew are on set.
Waiting on the star talent, so we're gonna have to hang in there, but we're gonna get to you soon.
Great job on the bridge.
Sure. More brown.
No, it's beautiful.
I'm sorry, I'm actually seeing someone else right now.
Walter fires Danny a puzzled glare.
Hey, can I talk to you fellas for a minute?
Sure, dude. What can we do for you?
I'm not too sure how to say this.
Duke, you could tell us anything, sir.
All right, then. Okay. I really don't want to get out there on that bridge.
But... Duke, this is the scene where you cross the gorge into the sacred and forbidden Indian burial ground, where you awaken the spirit of your great-grandfather, therefore revealing to your character and the audience that you're actually 1/8 Indian.
I don't care why I'm crossing the goddamn gorge. I don't like heights.
The great Duke Montana doesn't like heights. Oh.
That right there is the reason I don't ever tell anybody about it.
But, Duke, look, if we're to get this incredibly poignant and important scene, the one that would win you your Academy Award if you want that, and I know you do, there's no way that you can't cross that bridge. You have to cross that bridge.
That's easy enough to say from where you're standing. I'll see you fellas when you find a new way for me to reach the burial ground.
Perhaps a little liquid courage would help.
What do you think?
No.
You sure?
No.
You know what, Duke? You're right. It is easy to say from where we're standing. But look.
Hey, Walter.
Walter, what are you doing?
Don't worry, Uncle Max.
Well, yeah, but what are you doing?
Don't worry.
Walter.
See? Duke, it's perfectly safe.
Sure, when you're that close to solid ground, but what about out in the middle?
All right.
No. Is this really necessary?
It's okay. It's okay, Uncle Mac.
Really necessary? It's good.
Not like the man who puts his money where his mouth is.
Well,
are you convinced it's safe now, Duke? Look.
Now, how about a little bit further out?
Oh, okay.
No, Walter.
Walter. Now?
Well, no! Get Father Owen out there!
Walter!
Walter! Enough!
Stop! The scene is not worth it! Come back! It's okay, Uncle Max! It doesn't matter! We can't shut down! We're making the greatest movie ever! It's totally fine!
That is the kind of passion and commitment to a project that gets my blood rolling. You have yourself a scene, Mr. Barber.
You got this, Duke!
Okay.
Let's shoot!
Rolling!
And action!
A couple of Indians chase Duke along the rocky edge of the ravine. Duke ducks out of the way of an incoming arrow. He makes it to the hanging bridge, turns and fires at them. With a length of rope in his hand, he hops onto the bridge, firing at his pursuers as he goes. Max, rooted to the spot, watches on with bated breath. Duke makes it to the middle of the bridge. The Indians arrive at the start of the bridge.
Well, oh no.
What are you talking about? This is great.
Not yet.
Three Indians start to cross the bridge. Max grimaces, with so many of the actors now on the compromised bridge.
Director! Max Schnell! Come on!
Duke and his fellow actors wander back across the bridge.
Hey, I think I'm over my fear of heights!
Yeah, Duke! Great, Duke!
This Montana is not afraid of heights! Run!
Roll the fucking camera!
Yes, perfect!
Everybody clear the bridge!
A rope snaps. Duke puts his foot through the damaged plank. He starts to fall.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
Duke! Max's feigned look of concern changes to one of smug satisfaction. Then, from within the ravine, a rope's thrown, hooking over the wooden post on the platform to the bridge. Using all of his strength, Duke hauls himself up the edge of the ravine. Max can't believe his eyes. His facial expression sours. Duke stands triumphantly on the platform, much to the delight of the crew.
Yes!
Good job, Duke.
Hello. Who the fuck is Butterscotch?
What?
Who the fuck is Butterscotch?
He's a horse.
I'm being sued for $1 million because
you lost a fucking horse named Butterscotch.
No. We'll find him. We'll find him.
You goddamn right.
You'll find him. And what about the fucking cowboy? No, let me guess. Not dead.
No.
Max. If you're fucking around with me, better
performance. I swear for God, man,
I'm gonna throw your ass off a roof.
Reggie, I promise you I'm doing my best.
It's not that hard to kill somebody.
Oh no, but you don't know this guy. He's got like 9 lives, Reggie.
Shoot him. Strangle him. Poison him. I don't give a fuck how you do it. But do it. If not, I'm gonna come up there and do it myself. And when I'm done with him, I'll be starting.
Yeah.
This motherfucker hung up on me.
Butterscotch appears at the open door of Max's ground floor hotel bedroom.
Hey,
Oh, look who's here. And Butterscotch. So happy to see you.
Come on. You want to watch the show? Rodney Dangerfield, Dr. Joyce Brothers, Auntie Newley. What kind of fool am I?
It's okay. Come on. Come on.
What do you think? Oh, he's good, too. You're going to enjoy him. Come on.
What?
Ah! Fuck you, Butterscotch.
A new day on location. Max feeds a replacement horse who's tied up to a fence post with slops.
There you go. Nice horse, nice horse. That's it. That's it. Good horse here.
Max walks past Megan, who's setting up a shot, to Bob and hands him a wad of cash.
Yeah, thanks for coming back, Bob. Really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm still suing you.
Well, yeah, do what you gotta do. Okay. So tell me about old Mordecai here.
Mordecai come from a very long, prestigious line of bulls. You realize who his great-grandfather was?
No.
El Jefe Jose Gonzalez. Oh, yeah, and his bad son, Edge.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Killed 14 of them damn matadors in less than 3 weeks.
So Mordecai charges whenever he sees the color red.
Jesus Christ, come here. Don't ever let me hear you say that word around him again. You understand me? I'm the only one here that can control that big bastard. He goes ballistic and crazy if he just sees that color. Then you need to tell your crew if you had him.
Oh, yeah, I told everybody to steer clear of Mordecai here.
Well, that's good.
What's the story on this bull?
Excuse me. Well, look, this is the scene where the cowboys fight the Indians over the bull that they stole from them.
I know what the scene's about. It just doesn't make any sense.
How so?
Why in the world would an Indian steal a white man's bull when there's 3 million buffalo standing out there?
That's a good point. But let's just focus on today's work. Can we do that?
Fine, tell me about the bull. It don't make any sense.
No, he's a stunt bull. He looks mean, but he wouldn't try to fly.
Sounds hanky.
Hanky?
As in ridiculous.
But it's the newest thing, Duke. You've been out of the business for a long time. Believe me, Duke, this is state-of-the-art. By the way, where's that big, beautiful, bright red hat that I gave you?
I like my hat. I gave the red one to that little kid down there.
What? What kid? Walter.
Yes.
What's with the kid?
Oh, Megan had a great idea this morning. Instead of Duke just facing off the bull, first he's going to go rescue that little boy named Lyle.
What?
Isn't that exciting?
No, why didn't you tell me this?
Oh, it's going to be great. You're going to love it.
First position.
Looking good, Lyle.
Lyle's wearing the red hat.
Rolling.
Ready and action. And action, Duke.
Duke encourages his horse to ride across the meadow.
Get up there. Oh, dang, what's the matter with you?
The horse bends its front legs and rolls over on its side. Duke slides off the horse. Max yells out to the bull handler.
Harriet, no! Harriet, no!
Harriet mistakes Max's instructions and lets the bull out of the pen.
No!
The bull focuses its attention on Lyle, stood across the meadow wearing the bright red cowboy hat. A crew member spots Butterscotch running towards them.
Hey, look! Butterscotch!
Butterscotch rears up on his hind legs. Duke whistles to him. Terrified, Lyle cups his hands over his mouth. As Mordecai starts to charge, Duke runs towards the boy and scoops him off his feet. Butterscotch gallops at full pelt towards the actors. Duke puts Lyle onto Butterscotch's back. Duke fires at the ground, stopping the bull in its tracks. Duke and Mordecai stand face to face, holding one another's defiant gazes.
Stunt bull my ass. Get on out of here.
A man in a red truck pulls up behind Max. Mordecai charges at him. Walter helps Max back to his room.
Wow, Max, you sure are light on your feet. I gotta tell you, you almost dodged that bull.
Yeah.
Lie down. Put your feet up.
Fucking thing looked like Satan.
On the bright side, butterscotch coming back is something we never could have planned. And I was thinking, it totally encapsulates the heroic nature of Duke and the Indians and the townspeople. And even Megan said it's some of the best stuff we've gotten.
Yeah, fucking fabulous.
There's a note here from Reggie Fontaine. Oh, don't worry, it's more good news. He says he's going to come to set tomorrow to make sure we end up on the front page of the trades. Can you believe that? He sure is nice to go out of his way to help out on a movie he's not even involved in.
Lying on his back on his bed, Max glares up at the ceiling. Megan and Duke are in the bar. Megan knocks back a shot.
Duke, whatever happened to you?
No, I don't know. I think I'd rather not talk about it.
Do you know, I'd really like to know.
If all my years have taught me anything, it's that you have to be what you are. With no apology. Even when there ain't no role to play.
Holding Duke's hands, Megan smiles and nods at him. In Duke's trailer, Max is on his hands and knees taping up the doorway. Clambering to his feet, he crosses the room and turns on the gas stove. He checks over his shoulder. Then, muttering to himself, he wanders through the trailer to the bathroom and climbs out of the window.
All I want to do is make movies.
Max slips out of the window, landing in a crumpled heap on the ground. Quick to his feet, Max ambles over to Butterscotch and points at him.
Fuck you. Duke should be dead now.
No matter what you think you saw, I was not talking to that horse.
What? Come here, I gotta show you something. You're not gonna believe this. Just come with me, I got a surprise for you.
You gotta see this.
Come here.
Well, I have absolutely no interest whatsoever in seeing it.
Started up. Just trust me, started up.
Oh my God.
I know, I'm relaxed.
Waldo. Oh my God.
I know, Uncle Max.
Did you just see what he...
It's incredible.
Oh my God.
I know, Uncle Max.
I mean, it's a head. It's a bona fide head.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's perfect. It's a Duke Montana. I've never seen him more virile, more alive. My God.
Oh my God.
What?
What?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Duke! Harriet, where's Duke? Where's Duke?
I don't know, Mr. Barber. I think he went
Duke!
To his trailer.
What's going on? Stay there. Wait, stay over there. Stay there. Stay back. Stay back. Duke! Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Duke, where are you? Duke! Duke!
No!
Hey, there you are.
Well, I wanted to ask you something.
The trailer explodes, sending Max in a somersault through the air. Walter stands by Max's hospital bed.
You've been trying to kill Duke Montana.
What?
You heard me.
Who are you?
You don't have amnesia, you lying son of a bitch.
Is that how you talk to your own flesh and blood who's just coming out of a coma?
A coma? Ow! You've only been out 3 hours. You never had any intention of making a great movie. You are incapable of making a great movie. You just wanted to take the easy way out and cash in on the insurance. And that's why you invested your own money. Just the idea that you are never even going to tell me any of this.
Well, I didn't think you'd approve.
Of course I don't approve.
Well, you see, keeping you in the dark was the best thing for all of us.
Not Duke.
Duke. Duke had a gun in his mouth when we met him. He wanted to die. We gave him the greatest gift of all, the will to live again. And besides, you know what? This is really all your fault.
What?
You're the one who killed Frank Pierce. You're the one who wanted to go on the set, and you're the one who put that idea in my head in the first place.
Your ability to twist things around is incredible. How you can just... You cherry-pick information, and you just mold it into whatever you want. It's truly incredible. How do you do it? I gotta know, because you make greed seem palatable. You make murder seem just, you know, it's swell. What kind of a human being are you?
Well, I'm a producer, Walter. That's my gift.
You know what? You're nothing more than a garden variety psychopath. I mean, that is finally becoming clear to me. My God, gambling on this insanity with your own money is the only quasi-respectable thing you've done this entire shoot.
Sat on the edge of Max's bed, Walter's eyes widen with alarm as a sudden realization sweeps over him.
You're not gambling with your own money. Oh, please tell me you didn't get us into bed with Reggie Fontaine again.
Oh, my God!
That's my line.
What happened to all the money you got from selling Paradise to Jimmy Moore?
I never signed that contract. I told him to go fuck himself.
Why would you do that?
Why would I do that? He doesn't deserve that script. He's beneath that script. I'll never let him have that script. I'd take that script to my grave before I would let him have that script. Are you kidding me?
You are an insane person.
Fine, Walter. Sticks and stones. Call me whatever you want, but we need to protect our movie right now. We are on the precipice of greatness, of cinematic glory, or dare I say it, Academy Awards. There's only one thing stopping us now.
That Reggie Fontaine is on his way to kill Duke Montana himself.
And possibly you and me. Help me find my shoes. Where are they?
On location, the crew film a scene. Duke has a standoff with the sheriff while the townsfolk watch on.
What are you doing there, Sheriff?
Afraid I can't let you into town.
And why is that?
Anyone siding with the engines ain't welcome here.
That's where you got things wrong, Sheriff. I ain't on the side of the Indians. I'm on the side of right.
Reggie arrives on location. Devon opens the car door for his boss. Flanked by Devon and Kenny, the men walk towards the film set.
You know this is where they shot Gunga Din?
Who's Gunga Din? And why'd they shoot him?
Never mind.
How you want to do this, boss?
Publicly.
The three men arm themselves with their guns.
Your move, Sheriff.
The sheriff's hand hovers over his gun in his hip holster. Walter drives Max back to the set.
Go get Duke and meet me at the drive-in.
Drive-in?
Yeah, trust me.
Max watches the scene.
You don't want any Indians in here. You better be reaching for that hog leg on your hip.
The sheriff and Duke hold one another's steely glares. Megan notices Reggie and his henchmen coming onto set.
Cut! Cut! Who the hell are these guys?
Who cares? At least it's some color.
Robot! Robot! Robot!
Oh, no! Motherfucker!
Duke, we gotta get out of here. We gotta go!
Get the car!
Duke whistles for Butterscotch.
Hurry up!
Butterscotch trots over to Duke. He hops on the horse, then helps Max up. Reggie watches them make their escape on horseback. Bob runs after them, waving his arms.
Butterscotch! No! Come back!
Reggie is collected by Kenny and Devin. They drive across the country, following the route of Butterscotch. In a trailer, a member of the crew checks over the rushes. Walter runs in, snips the film, grabs the reel, then charges out again. Walter drives his car to the production house. Clutching the reel of film, he goes inside. With a sense of urgency, Walter prepares the film reel. Duke rides at speed with Reggie and his men hot on their heels. Duke weaves a path on the horse, trying to shake off their pursuers. Walter fumbles frantically with the film as he puts the reel onto the projector. Duke rides up to the drive-in movie screen. Max loses balance and falls off the horse. Duke hops off the horse. Kenny drives up to Max, lying on the ground at the foot of a large movie screen. Max dusts himself down as he stands up. Reggie, Devin, and Kenny train their guns on a confused Duke. Overwhelmed with emotion, Reggie takes a moment to compose himself.
I'm sorry, Mr. Montana, but I'm going to have to kill you.
Kill me?
Under different circumstances, I might be telling you how much I appreciated your work in Silver Spurs, so I'll save three for Papa.
You like that fucking movie?
Oh, yeah, a lot. But, well, I gotta cut you.
Walter threads the film through the projector.
Reggie, don't do something you're going to regret. Please, don't.
Reggie, did you know these guys? I'm not going to regret any part of this. Matter of fact, I think I'll kill you first, Max.
Duke lassoes Reggie's gun.
Great job, Duke. Now what?
Now what? How about telling me what the hell's going on here?
Walter plays the film onto the giant outdoor screen. Reggie's attention's drawn to the action. Max turns to look at the widescreen behind him. The scene of Duke riding up to the burning wagons on Butterscotch fills the screen. The music catches Duke's attention. He lowers Reggie's gun that is pointing at his would-be assassins and watches the action with interest. Reggie is mesmerized by Duke and Butterscotch jumping over the wagons. Reggie and his men smile at Max. The scene with the bull now plays out before them. A look of pride sweeps over Max's face. The next scene shown is of Duke falling from a swing bridge. Reggie laughs heartily. Duke's impressed with the rushes.
Yes. Maxie, goddamn, I think you did it, partner.
That's our movie?
Yeah, that's it.
No, I would say this is some of your best work, Max, but that wouldn't be saying a whole lot, would it? But let me be the first one to say it to you.
Oscar.
Huh? Huh? How much more you got to shoot?
One day.
I'll see you in L.A. See you. Mr. Mine. Duke? Thank you. Put the guns away. We're not killing anybody.
Can I at least throw a bullet at the motherfucker?
Like I said, would you mind telling me what's going on here?
Well, Duke, I don't want you to be upset with what I'm going to tell you.
Oh, heck, Mr. Barber, you can tell me anything. We're friends.
Duke plays Russian roulette.
Don't! You can't.
Why the hell are you trying to?
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, Max is sorry he was trying to kill you, Duke.
Ah, shit.
Which Walter inspired me to do.
No, I did not.
Oh, yes, you did.
I did not. The point is, Duke, we all want you alive.
Of course I want you alive.
Ah, damn it, this is not about me living or dying.
It's not?
No.
Duke, you're not making any sense.
I have been trying to destroy myself because I broke her heart. The love of my life. I can't let her go.
Oh, Duke.
Bessie. Bess Jones. I was in New Orleans and wound up in a black club. Blues, they had Willie Proudfoot playing. She looked at me with those big, beautiful eyes, and she sang. And I knew right then and there she was the one for me, and me for her. I'm about to sign a $1 million contract, and the studio boss says, "Duke, you gotta make up your mind. You want to be a rich Western movie star, or do you want to run off with your black girlfriend?"
So you chose stardom?
Who the goddamn hell is telling this fucking story? A happy, well-adjusted man with his soulmate at his side, or an angry, broke-down, emptied-out, suicidal drunk? Why don't you guys get out of here so I can kill myself?
No, Duke! Now you listen to me, you son of a bitch! I'm sick and tired of this shit! I don't give a shit about you or your sad story! Or your fucking colored Louisiana blues singing girlfriend. I have bled through my ass for this fucking moment. And I am one seat away from my fucking Oscar. You're gonna stop with the booze, stop with the gun, and stop with the bullshit. You're gonna get a good night's sleep. You're gonna have wonderful, beautiful dreams of prairies and mountain streams with deer and antelope playing in the morning. You're gonna wake up refreshed, drink a pot of fucking coffee. You're gonna do the goddamn scene. And you're gonna do it brilliantly. And after that, when our director yells cut, you can stick a bazooka up your ass and pull the fucking trigger for all I care. But you will be on that set tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. and you will finish this movie.
Duke squares up to Max.
That's the most honest thing anybody has said this entire shoot.
Duke departs the hotel room. Walter holds his uncle's penetrating glare. The following morning, Duke and an Indian settler sit next to each other in a field of long grass.
Life is really just one big mistake, isn't it? I mean, so precious. And we treated it like it was meaningless. I was playing poker one time with this old Chinese fella named Chin Lu. Long, white, flowing hair, boniest of hands, far too many teeth. And he was laughing and drinking and having a good old time. And I swear he had the biggest pile of poker chips in front of him I had ever seen. Thousands of dollars. Thousands upon thousands. Hell, he had so many poker chips he was giving them away. And then his pile of poker chips dwindled. And it dwindled some more. And as the evening went on, old Chin sobered up and realized what he had done. I wish I'd been a little bit more respectful of the pile of poker chips that God put in front of me to get started on. But, hell, that's life. Mistakes and lost poker chips. One great, big, beautiful mistake.
The emotional crew and Butterscotch watch the final scene.
Ed! Cut!
Megan stands before the team and announces...
That's a wrap!
Overjoyed, Max and Walter rise up from their seats and embrace. The crew congratulate one another. Duke bows his head and scrutinizes the blade of long grass in his hand. Max and Walter give him the thumbs up. A poster for the film fills the screen. Time passes. At the premiere.
This is Sophia Renee. It's a beautiful summer evening in Los Angeles, and we're all here for the world premiere of The Oldest Gun in the West. We're waiting for the stars to arrive. We have some producers, we have some of the actors, and this is the big return of Duke Montana, one of the greatest Hollywood icons ever to grace the silver screen.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Hello. Max Barber, Walter Creason. You two are the producers of The Oldest Gun in the West, which many are saying is going to be the one to beat on Oscar night. How are you feeling?
Well, we're very honored and humbled to be here.
And this is what happens when a lot of talented individuals all come together with a singular vision and purpose. It's quite special.
Let's just say that my uncle and I believe in miracles.
Yeah, for sure.
That's lovely. Oh, excuse me, Megan Albert. I heard your work is amazing in the picture. You're one of the very few female directors in Hollywood. How does that feel?
Well, I really hope that I can inspire more women to become directors. I really have Max Barber, Walter Creason, and most of all, Duke Montana to thank for believing in me.
Oh, she's cool, huh? We met at work together.
What's next for you all?
Well, actually, now that I'm the president of the studio, I've signed Max, Walter, and Megan to a multi-picture deal. In fact, my first project out of the gate is going to be the epic Paradise.
And I will be co-financing all future Miracle Motion Picture pictures. All right, you heard me. Just like Humphrey Bogart muscled out Jimmy Cagney in the Roaring Twenties. You remember that, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Huh, remember?
Like the brother just said, we in the business. You dig? We're going to be doing black movie suit with black actors. Right up.
Okay, so Max and James, rumor has it that over the years you two have had a very contentious relationship. You care to comment?
Well, Jimmy and I have talked this over. We both agree that there's nothing as tenuous as enemies in show business.
Yeah, I mean, you can't believe everything you hear. Max Barber is a great, great grandfather figure for me. Always has been.
Okay, gentlemen. Well, thank you for stopping, and I wish you all the best tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
What the fuck is the grandfather thing?
Doesn't have to call me Jenny.
Well, don't call Paradise your movie, because it's not.
Can we at least agree that it is ours?
No, it's not ours. I have signed it.
Max, come on.
Good,
Max.
Look what we have.
Hey, come on. What's our movie?
Duke's fans cheer as he rides on Butterscotch up to the red carpet outside the cinema.
Duke Montana, how does it feel to be back on top?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it's very nice that you all came out to see an old cowboy.
Oh, well, congratulations, and we wish you the best of luck tonight.
Duke, come on. You're going to miss your big comeback. Come on.
I'll be right with you, partner.
Hey, Duke.
Come on, Duke. This is more your night than anybody's.
I don't do very well in crowds, Mr. Barber. I think I do better in the wide open spaces.
But we need you. Come on, come on, come on.
Mr. Barber, I can't do it.
Max puts aside his disappointment and pats Duke on the back. Duke wanders off down the red carpet, then retraces his steps to Max.
Hey, thank you for trying to kill me.
Thanks for not dying.
Okay.
Duke climbs on Butterscotch. He waves his hat at his fans. Max and Duke's eyes meet. Duke rides off.
Hope you find what you're looking for.
Later, Duke's riding across a wide expanse of open countryside with undulating hills in the background. As the horse canters across the parched land, dust kicks up in its wake. Duke rides towards a hill with a giant white Hollywood sign located near its peak. Butterscotch patiently waits in the driveway of Bess's house while Duke knocks on the wooden front door.
Bess home?
Credits roll. Directed by George Gallo. A mid-title scene to follow.
From Miracle Motion Pictures, the studio that brought you Cows from Beyond, Bigfoot Was My Lover, the Hackensack Blowtorch Atrocities, and the time-honored classic Mantula, comes a new movie that literally tests the boundaries of cinema. The Sisters of Eternal Sorrows take their vows very, very seriously.
Fuck! Hot on. These are some f***ing hot nuns.
Say your prayers!
Killer nuns! They're cleaning up the streets in their own special way.
This is a big score for the orphanage. The kids are gonna love this.
Killer nuns! They're nuns with a bad habit.
Get this freaking pus off of me! Okay, got it.
Their sister's on a mission.
Good shit, kid. Enjoy it.
Selling drugs to babies?
Hey, I'm a Catholic.
So are we.
They're tough. They're mean. Killer nuns.
The Comeback Trail. Audio described by Penelope Parisi. The End.